And now it's time for Czechs in History, this week with Colin O'Connor looking at the life of singer Petr Novák, whose band could be considered the Czech version of the Beatles.
Povídej, jestli tě má hodně rád víc než já. Jestli když večer jdeš spát, ti polibek dá, tak jako já.
The unmistakable sound of Petr Novák, a singer whose delicate tenor voice is synonymous with Czechoslovak society of the late 1960s. This talented musician shot to fame in this country at the time of the Prague Spring, when his gentle love songs, influenced by Western pop groups like the Beatles, were hugely popular among young Czechs. His success during this era, however, proved to be short-lived, and his career subsequently stagnated under the influence of communist repression and his own problems with alcohol. Petr Novák was born in Prague in 1945 and began playing the piano at just 6 years of age. When he was growing up, he had initially wanted to be an actor, but music increasingly had an influence on the direction his life was taking, especially after he first heard the Beatles in the early 1960s. The lively, Merseybeat sound of the Fab Four had a profound effect on the young Petr Novák. He started a band with some friends, and for a while they actually even called themselves the Beatles. The group later changed their name to George and Beethoven's, but their Liverpool-influenced sound remained.
Zavři pusu, ať spát, vždyť už bude brzo den, nech si o mě něco zdát, ať je krásný ten můj sen, já budu chodit po špičkách.
The band surprised everyone with this song, Já budu chodit po špičkách, or I Will Walk on Tippy Toes, which they recorded themselves in a basement. Despite the obviously bad sound quality, this track was a huge hit and stayed on the chart for a year and a half. Unfortunately, George and Beethoven's didn't have much time to capitalise on their success. The band were forced to split up shortly afterwards because some members had to do their compulsory military service. Nevertheless, Petr Novák's star continued to rise. He joined another band, Flamenco, and had a couple of hits with them before reforming George and Beethoven's once the band's members returned from the army. Most of the songs for both groups were written by Novák with his childhood friend and lyricist Ivo Plicka. They primarily specialised in wistful, western-sounding love songs, which struck a chord with young Czechs and Slovaks, enthused by the relaxed political and social atmosphere of the Prague Spring. Veteran Czech rock critic Wojciech Lindauer is old enough to remember the impact of Petr Novák's music at the time.
Petr Novák was the first romantic singer in Czech Republic. You know, probably he was a voice of Prague Spring, and he was something like speaker of generation of late 60s. He looked like that because he had a long hair, and he had a look. He looked a little bit. He looked like John Lennon, you know, with the large nose and so. And he was great.
Odchod se štítem, domy rozbité.
Petr Novák and his band went on to enjoy a string of hits. The country's youth warmed to his Beatles-esque music, which chimed in perfectly with the atmosphere of that era. One could almost say he provided the soundtrack to the Prague Spring. Unfortunately, Petr Novák's popularity during this period was to reflect badly on him once Warsaw Pact tanks invaded in 1968. Although he was never officially banned, concert promoters were encouraged not to hire this singer, who had been so popular in the period leading up to the Soviet invasion. Novák's career nosedived even further when he declared a minute's silence for Jan Palach at a gig in Bratislava after the student had set himself on fire in protest at the reintroduction of hardline communist rule in 1969. Even if he hadn't made this political protest, it was hardly surprising that Novák would be frowned upon by the new regime. His Western-style music was also matched by a wild, heavy-drinking lifestyle, not unlike that of many American and British rock stars. Wojciech Linder says that this is something that a lot of communist functionaries would have found hard to stomach.
His nickname was Barrel, you know what I mean, because he liked alcohol very, very much. And the way of life, it was something what wasn't acceptable for establishment and for times that were called normalization. I remember the last concert of him and George and Beethoven's, it was his group. I saw it in 1972, I think, and it was the end of one era.
George and Beethoven's split up shortly after this concert, primarily because they couldn't get any work. Petr Novak tried to carry on, but was soon reduced to going around clubs with his guitar looking for gigs. This period was also marked by increasing problems with alcohol. He had always been fond of a drink, and his ability to party at the height of his fame in the 1960s was legendary. In the 1970s, however, his drinking habit rapidly descended into alcoholism. Wojciech Linder believes that the repressive nature of the normalization era may have had as much to do with this deterioration as any self-destructive hedonism on Novak's part.
He was an alcoholic, but what could you do in early 70s in Czechoslovakia? If you were a singer, or if you loved the Beatles, or if you loved all the things that you couldn't do it here, you know, that was the reason probably.
Je ti míň než hezké ženě krásce, je ti víc než klukům se zdá, dospělá, co posmívá se lásce.
Although Petr Novák continued to write and record music until his death, he never reached the heights of his 1960s heyday. This was partly because his long-term collaborator Ivo Plitska fled the country in the late 1970s, which affected the quality of Novak's output. But after years of heavy drinking, Novak's health was also in disarray, and Wojciech Linder believes that this too played a major role in his failure to recapture former glories.
The records or the albums he made in 80s or 90s, my God, it was a disaster. It was really disaster, you know. It wasn't a pleasure for me to write about that, but I had to do it. I had to write that the songs are very poor, and the lyrics are awful, and so, and also his vocal wasn't as a glittering tenor. He was very tired. He was very tired and very unhappy, and I think he was also very ill, really, really ill, sick. His soul was sick.
Despite the fact that there was much goodwill towards Petr Novak after the Velvet Revolution, he was much too ill by then to launch a sustained effort to re-establish himself, even if the concerts he did manage to perform were well attended. Years of excess and disappointment eventually caught up with him when he died of a massive heart attack at just 51 years of age in 1997. It was a sad end to a career that had started so brightly. Wojciech Linder, however, says most Czechs prefer not to dwell on Novak's difficulties in later life. Instead, they remember the dashing young singer who burst onto the Czechoslovak music scene in the late 1960s and who will be forever associated with the hope and optimism of that era.
Well, he was a troubadour. He was the first rock and roll troubadour in Czech Republic, and he will be remembered like that.
Když půjdeš po cestě,